Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of HR Radio, where we will be discussing a new lens on skills. I'm Aditi from the HRO team, and this is the second episode of our Modern Leadership series in partnership with Coursera. The skills of modern leadership, such as strategic thinking, emotional intelligence, resilience, and agility, have evolved, owing to trends such as remote work, digital transformation, talent shortage, as well as economic uncertainty. So how can you build future-proof skills in your workforce? Today, we are glad to welcome our guests on this podcast, Raghav Gupta, Managing Director for Coursera Asia Pacific, and Vikas Verma, Managing Director and Head of Strategic HR Function for UOB. Thank you both for joining us today, Raghav and Vikas. How are you doing?
Yeah, wonderful to be here, Aditi. Big hi to Vikas and to you. Doing very well and excited to talk with you and Vikas on this podcast.
Thanks, Aditi. Equally excited here to be talking on this very interesting topic and look forward to hearing Raghav's views as well.
Lovely. It's my pleasure to be here and to welcome both of you. Okay, now, Vikas, I'd like to zoom in a little bit now that we're all warmed up into your role a little bit. You have been focusing on future-proofing UOB and the entire workforce, and you've recently completed the fourth edition of the Better You Festival. So, Vikas, what would you say are your most important takeaways in giving your workforce future-proof skills at the right time and using the right tools?
Yeah, no, Aditi, this is a great question, and we are actually preparing for the fifth edition of the Better You Festival coming September or October. It actually didn't start as a festival. It was the genesis was actually my role or my function was set up with the whole vision of future-proofing UOB and its people. And the whole idea was that digitalization is happening at a rapid pace. And if you look at the banking sector, it's not just digitalization within the bank, but there are new players also coming, whether it is tech firms or fintechs. And rather than just focusing on technology, I think very early on, the board members and the senior leadership quickly realized that it's about people and not so much just about technology. So that's how this whole thing was set up. So Better You was, there's actually a meaning behind it. It's a continuous journey about learning. And each day, how can I be better than who I was yesterday? So the whole idea was to really instill a sense of learning, unlearning, and learning, unlearning as a continuous method. So I think with that context, when we look at Better You, we said it focuses on three levels or three rather assumptions. First, each and every job will get impacted. I'm not saying we'll get eliminated, but how we do work will change, right? And we've already seen this. I think COVID-19 has been a good reminder. Everything is getting digital and will change. What it means is it's not about the fear that you lose your job, but are you even capable of doing your current job with the new technologies? And hence, the first phase of Better You actually focused on all our employees. All 30,000 employees were eligible and have gone or going through this program. And we focus on five core skills. First is the growth mindset. And growth mindset essentially is all about learning and unlearning. Second is really problem solving. With new technologies coming in, the new ways of working, we're solving problems. Even existing ways of doing things, we need to find a new way of doing it. I think ChatGPT is a good example, very simple example of how do you even write your resume is changing now. So it's an old art, but it's a new way of doing it. Then with the new interactions that we're having with technology, the whole human-centered design has become very important. Focusing on customer experience, employee experience, how we interact becomes very important. Then, of course, whether you like technology or not, just as I say, everyone knows how to write. Today, everyone needs to know how technology impacts your workplace. So just knowing APIs, cloud, what does these things mean and how does it impact you? You need to know this. And of course, then there's a data storytelling with tons and tons of data that we have today. We cannot just throw this at our stakeholders. So we encourage most of our employees to go through this, and the feedback has been very positive. In fact, the good thing is the biggest worry we had was most of these programs, they die slowly or the people don't complete it. But we have seen really, really good completion rates and satisfaction rate. The second aspect that Better You addresses is while the new jobs will change, there are new jobs that will emerge as well. So are we training people for that? And that could be even mean it could mean hiring people from outside or even internally training people with adjacent skills. So whether it is cybersecurity, AI, ML, your data analytics, those are the skills that are new. And that's where the BetterU kind of addresses. The third aspect that BetterU addresses is we do realize that there will be a small portion of jobs that may fundamentally disappear or will change so dramatically that you won't even recognize it. And that's where we provide a pivot program. So BetterU Pivot, where let's say if I'm just taking an example, you are working at a branch and we know branches, a lot of work is moving digital now. But the folks who are interacting with the customers, they have some really good experience of joining a digital teams to really map out the customer journeys. So how do we help them pivot? So BetterU is actually addressing all these three initiatives. And I wouldn't say we are starting now. We kind of saw this trend and we started 4 years ago. And it's really helping us at this point in time.
It's a very, very exciting project. And we're wishing you best of luck for the fifth edition that's coming up. So Raghav, I'm going to come to you for my next question, and I'm going to cite some research which says that 60% of executives believe that we should be moving to a talent approach where employees flow to tasks and projects based on their skills and their interests. So how does this fundamentally change the way that we are looking at needs of our employees?
You know, I think this research, while it is recent, it reminds me of this book by Daniel Pink, you know, who researches human motivation a lot. And the book is The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. And he talks about how eventually, you know, purpose, autonomy, and mastery are the three key elements of what motivate us. And while purpose is a bigger overarching theme that a company might help us establish, but I think autonomy and mastery, right? Can I control what kind of work I do, and can I get better and better and better at that? I think this is not very different from what, you know, this research is telling us. One of the things that we've been doing, right, very recently, we did a bit of research with the Burning Glass Institute and came up with this report, which is called the Skills Compass Report. I think this was about a month ago. And the idea is to say to, you know, people leaders, HR leaders, that look, as, you know, so many changes are happening, and one could pick any of these themes and say, look, how do you understand the value of certain skills? How do you understand the value of learning? And then, like you said, right, how do you identify the right skills and skill development approaches? I mean, I really like what Vikash shared about the three levels of BetterU, right? And those are very different contexts in terms of, for example, level two, when new jobs are emerging. So how do you think about the time to skill for a new job? How do you think about the value of a new job? And then how do you think about longevity of a skill that you might be training somebody on? So, and the longevity of a skill, let's say in level one, where I think Vikash spoke about growth mindset. So the longevity of a skill like growth mindset might be much longer than longevity of a new tool, you know, the skill of a new tool that you might be using. And let's say you learn Power BI for data analytics, but then it might change a year or two later. So I think thinking about skills along these dimensions of saying, look, how long does it take to skill, right? Is this something which I can learn in a few minutes, or is this something which takes 6 months? What's the value of that on for my company, for my organization, for me as an individual? And then thinking about skill longevity, longevity is helpful as well. That's what the Skills Compass report kind of talks about. But in general, Aditi, outside of that, we've seen over the last few years that you know, increasingly many companies are seeing a lot of success in moving to we call skills first learning, right? Focusing on learning that helps drive business outcomes, focusing on learning that drives skills-based learning. And within that, we've seen a lot of success in saying, look, to be able to define the underlying sub-skills within a broader skill set. So, you know, you want to become a data analyst, what are the six underlying skills as a part of that is a good starting point. To then be able to say to a learner or an individual, you know, take an assessment so that you get a sense of what your current skill levels are, is the second step. And then we found that, you know, all of us as humans learn in different ways. You know, I might want to take a 20-hour course, you might say, look, give me something which is hands-on. I'd rather practice it and learn by doing and so on. So then to deploy that kind of content which resonates with you as an individual becomes helpful. And then eventually to be able to measure all of this, right? So instead of, you know, leaving learning as fuzzy and unmeasurable, just making it very easy to measure both for the individual and the organization. And I think this all goes back to my earlier point that, look, as companies think about more skills-based job roles, it's eventually going back to the fundamentals of human motivation around mastery, autonomy, and purpose. And I think it's a powerful track for us to be going down towards.
Indeed. Thank you so much for summarizing so many insights into one response. Raghav, do you mind if I stay with you for my next question? I hopefully am leading right into that. Now, promoting technical leaders into managerial roles has always been a delicate task and rather a hard part of leadership development. So how do you think, in your experience, we can democratize those leadership skills so that they are accessible for everyone in the business, whether or not they are on the growth path for a managerial role?
Yeah, and this is something I think we increasingly see a lot of value in, and I think we believe in at Coursera, that leadership learning is no longer for just business leaders, Aditi. And you referred to it as well, right? Especially post-pandemic, where most of us have been challenged to lead ourselves, right? Whether it be perseverance, whether it be resilience and skills like that. So I think we've increasingly been very vocal about this and said, look, let's think about leadership learning for everyone. You might be leading an organization, right? And you might be thinking, look, work is hybrid. You know, I have employees who are remote. We're coming back to work. So how do I lead an organization in that context where technology is disrupting and changing so many things? You might be leading teams as well, right? And the role of the middle manager, I think, has become increasingly important post-COVID because you're leading people through rapid change. And that's where leadership becomes more important. But then very importantly, leading yourself as well, right? As a relatively younger employee in a company, how do I build skills around leading myself? So perseverance and, you know, things like that. But also, I think what Vikas was referring to, which is things like data-backed storytelling, right? I think those are essential skills as well. So thinking about leadership for everybody, I think, is important. Traditionally, companies have sent, you know, top leaders to leadership programs, to business schools, but thinking about leadership for everybody is helpful. And then, you know, a couple of weeks, and I was talking about this at the start of our conversation, that how do you learn human skills or leadership skills without being with other humans, you know, in an environment? And one of the things that we are excited about is ChatGPT coming into Coursera, and we are launching this coach feature. So everybody has a coach for themselves. And I can say, look, here's a negotiation bit that I'm working on. Give me feedback. And so you can get powerful interactive feedback. So can we scale leadership learning to 30,000 people, 50,000 people at scale? And instead of making it lonesome, make it interactive and exciting. I think that would be something powerful.
Thank you so much for reaffirming that. And I think it really plays into my next question, Vikas. I'll be coming to you for this question now. What, in your view, does it mean to have a growth mindset and to find meaning in your work? And how can we empower our managers and our workforce to constantly achieve this as a habit, as a culture?
Yeah, so maybe we'll do another podcast next year where I'll give you a better answer, but we are trying something. So let me share. I can tell you next year whether it is succeeded or not. But this is a real challenge, right? The middle managers, I think Raghav really hit the nail on its head. Okay, let me first describe the issue. With the pace of change that's happening, we may take a lot of decisions at the senior leadership, right? And everyone is very aligned. This is what we need to do. By the time the information goes down, things have changed. So how do we really create that alignment at a large scale? And while we are not a very large organization, we still have 6,000 people managers that we need to deal with. And what we're trying to do is something a bit different, is we're actually making the whole piece of finding meaning at work as the key priority. And we discovered a few interesting things. First, if I just tell my team member that, you know, you should be excited about UOB's purpose, which is building the future of ASEAN, what we saw was that it may not necessarily excite them, and especially about finding meaning at work. right? And we are not like a soccer team who will come play a game and then go away. We always say that we are here for the long run. So it's a marathon. And I may actually have people who see an employment at UOB as a means to meet their purpose, which could be outside of the bank, right? And that's absolutely okay. I want to be, let's say, teaching arts, but in order to sustain my family, I'm working at the bank, right? And that is something, is the realization that we kind of had. And we said, how do we now incorporate to really help people find meaning at work? So we have come up with something called, again, nothing very new, it's called UOB Way. I think most of the organizations have that. But the way we are saying is we want to bring in not just the bank's purpose in the UOB way, but we want to look at how we do things. And most importantly, our people philosophy itself. How do we want to take care of our people? And caring includes the looking at their growth as well from a skills perspective. So we are currently on this whole journey of training all of 5,000 managers. It's literally almost like a mindfulness session. And interestingly, the feedback has been very positive. There are no slides. We cannot help people find purpose in a day session, but we at least try to put them on that path. The feedback has been that many times people talk about hard skills, but not many organizations actually invest in. This is not even the soft of the softest. Probably we're not even talking about leadership skills. We're talking about your own purpose. And the fact that people are able to spend a day just thinking about it. Why are they even here at the bank, or why do they even come here to work? It is something which is having quite a profound impact, I would say. A lot of people have come back and said, I didn't look at it this way. And I think this brings home the point that this whole future of work is not just about one or two skills. It's a whole mindset shift. So that's how we're trying to mobilize our people managers, right? Now, if I come back to your first question, which is the growth mindset. Now, this is again a bit of a challenge. It's easier said than done. If I take an analogy, I think till the time skills is an organization's priority, I don't think it will work. It has to be a pull from the employee, right? And what I mean when I said, let me take an analogy, is till the time, you know, I was not very regular with exercises and gyms and all those things. And it was always a drag on me. But when it became a habit, now, even if I don't go for, let's say, alternate day, I don't go, my body starts demanding it and I have to go. It's no longer a drag that, oh, I must do it to get fit and these things like that, right? So if I can make that whole culture that way, that skills is not something, oh, my bank or my organization is forcing me, I must complete this course by this and this date, it will not work. So when it comes to the growth mindset and problem solving, what at least I'm telling my teams, that focus on three things, and maybe we share every fortnight amongst ourselves. Those three things is, first, demonstrate curiosity. Did you learn something new in the last 15 days? Now, it may not be at work. Maybe you learned how to bake a cake. Maybe you learned how to create a resume on ChatGPT, anything, but just share. The second piece, we're saying empathy. Now, again, we have spoken a lot about empathy, but what we say is empathy means first find your customer or consumer, go speak to them. Don't share with them about what you do. Just understand what they do and what challenges they are facing. Just go and have a coffee with them. People love to have bubble tea, right? So just go and have a bubble tea and interact with them. And second, and the third piece is, we are saying, if you do these two things, then problems are always there. And third is, you can solve problems, then focus on problem solving. So growth mindset, in my view, I'm trying to simplify this a bit to see, so that I make it more tangible for everyone. Otherwise, it's just elusive concept and I'm distributing books and people are not getting it. So I'm saying, just be curious, share what have you learned. Tell me, who have you met, your customer or a consumer, in the last 15 days, and what is the new problem that you have solved? And if we can get this cycle in motion, I think there will be a demand for new skills to be learned. People would want to learn new things and apply these new things. So that's what we're trying to do. I'm not sure if I answered your question correctly, but as you can imagine, I'm also trying to find these answers, and hopefully next year we'll share more.
Definitely, Vikas, we would love to bring you back to see, but it definitely sounds like you're on the right track, because you are creating those safe spaces for employees to demonstrate the values and behaviors that you're encouraging them to develop. So it's been a great conversation. I think in the time that we have, we've packed in a lot of punch for our listeners. And that brings us to the end of today's podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, Vikas and Raghav.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
To all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Leadership and will join us for the next session as well. Take care and goodbye.